back in the courthouse, or you still got some?
Well, they're still doing a
couple of things over here.
We don't quite have a clerk in there yet. Judges are.
Hi, good morning. So we are officially opening the meeting of the Public Commission, the Oregon Legislature Management and Human Resources Committee. Thank you for being here. And on the phone, we have Commissioner Bernstein. Good morning.
Morning.
Pardon? Yes. Commissioner Bernstein, just so you know, we have Senator Frank Morse, Commissioner Pigsley, our great and wonderful staff, Marjorie Taylor, myself.
Who are you?
I'm Connie. Co-Chair Latimer, Commissioner Barrows, Commissioner Cease, and Commissioner Martin. Just for the good of the order, so you know, Sonia, Craig.
Sorensen Craig.
Sorensen Craig, excuse me, has resigned from the commission, as an FYI. Any other housekeeping?
No. Oh, Monday. We certainly are excited to see you on Monday for our full commission meeting. So put that on your calendars.
And also as a goal for today, if we can actually work through this agenda and get recommendations out, there's a very good chance we would, as a committee, not have to meet again. So as an incentive. Once the full commission, you know, hand us something else. But this is what's left in our committee to do, is what you see on the agenda. So with that, go ahead and ask Dallas and Mr. Hibner, come on up. And please identify yourself. And I want to draw your attention to the piece of paper that's going to say Management Human Resources Possible Audit Recommendation. And then attached to that is a document that that Dallas worked up for us. If you remember the last time we spoke about this two meetings ago, I said I would bring something back, and I went to our great and wonderful staff here in the building and asked them to do something. So this is a working document. So with that, I'm going to take it over.
Okay. Co-chairs, members of the commission, I'm Dallas Wyand with the Legislative Fiscal Office and staff to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
And Chuck Ebner, Director of the Audits Division.
Hopefully you have this document that says Legislative Audit Office and is dated August 1.
Madam Chair, before we get into that,
yes.
What happened to the concept of using the report from the NCSL group about rather than focusing on the concept of audit, which is problematical because of the Constitution and the Secretary of State? What happened to the concept of the program evaluation concept?
Well, I think Dallas may speak to that in part. This is just a starting point. I think the goal was to have something in writing to cross out, and I think my good co-chair might have something you might be interested in as well, I'm hearing. So
we're long.
Okay.
If I
go ahead. Go.
Okay.
Can we dig into it and then see where the committee ends up?
Let me.
Okay. What I just before we go off onto the audit stuff, I was under the impression that the committee was pretty much in agreement about the concept of program evaluation rather than audit words. But maybe I was just out of it, Madam Chair.
I, co-chairs, members of the commission, I didn't walk away with that same feeling. I know there was discussion about program evaluation, but I took the instruction to be try to address a legislative audit function. I don't, and there obviously are different views on this, but in our office and Ledge Council, we've discussed this. We don't really subscribe to the notion or the idea that that the Secretary of State as the constitutional auditor of public accounts, that doesn't require the legislature to forsake any other audit responsibilities. We believe that, and we've discussed this at length, I think Mr. Ruttlinger also addressed that when he was here a couple of meetings ago, about whether or not the legislature has the authority to establish an audit function. So that's what I took away. I know there was a discussion about consideration of a program evaluation concept, and the NCSL has a National Legislative Program Evaluation Society or group, NLPES, and a great many of its members participating in that actually are audit shops. Program audits, management audits, but audits versus what I would call pure program evaluation studies. They are different in concept. Program evaluation is different from an audit, and I took away from it that this group was looking at an audit function, and so that's what I brought back to you was strictly an audit function. So putting that's the context with which I address this. Mr. Hibner and I met and discussed this. We agreed that the approach, what I've brought before you, is strictly focused on a legislative audit function. I'll go back to House Bill 2001, which was, had a lot in it. And this peels out a lot. It takes away any reference. There's no reference here to the Secretary of State at all. It doesn't amend. What's proposed here does not amend any of its existing statutes. Of course, what's also not in here is anything that would amend the Legislative Fiscal Office's responsibility to staff the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, which I think Ken Rocker would have an issue with if you wanted to set up an audit office. He would want it to staff an audit committee. However, so I put this together, and Chuck and I discuss this, and he may not agree with this as a coming forward, or they may have some issues, but what we did agree to was, and Chuck, correct me if I'm mistaken, but at least this did not change anything with respect to the Secretary of State. We discussed House Bill 2001, for example, would have taken the hotline responsibility and put it with this new whatever it was going to set up. We talked about, and Chuck said he felt fine with the operation as it was with the Secretary of State, so we left it there. No mention of Secretary of State here is in this, and we felt that was a good starting point to have the discussion. What it would do would set up a legislative audit office under the auspices of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, who would appoint a director. The director would then hire staff. The director would report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The purpose of the office, the statutory authority, would be to conduct audits of the performance and management of state agencies and programs. This is in Section 2.2. And that was the wording there was crafted to avoid any overlap with the constitutional auditor of public accounts, that this would only conduct audits of the performance and management of state agencies and programs and state-funded programs. I think that's consistent with at least from a management and performance side, that's consistent with what the Audits Division does. It gets to audit the state dollars. It can follow the funds. Although you may not have the resources at times to do it, but you can all follow the flow of public funds and audit those. And then gives the director of the office the authority to contract out for some work if it doesn't have the resources to do it internally. That's the sum of what the authority, and then the office could subpoena records if someone wasn't forthcoming with the records. That's pretty much what this does. I had a discussion with Senator Morse about there could be the issue of whether or not this is as the constitutional auditor of public accounts, the Secretary of State is the sole auditor for the state, and no one else shall have audit authority, and that someone may raise that constitutional issue. So what I put in here in Section 6, and this is just wording for if you care to go forward with it, is if there's a challenge to it, that it could be taken directly to the Supreme Court. It would have jurisdiction if there's a challenge to the constitutional authority of the statute. The wording in here, you'll see in other state audit statutes, I think, that makes the working papers confidential, so that they do not have to, they wouldn't be subject to the public records law. That's, I believe, Audits Division has the same confidentiality statute. And that's pretty much what's contained in here. It's a very simple one. It doesn't address some housekeeping things like that. I didn't want to clutter it up with what might be considered to be technical things. Like I said, but you would repeal or change the statute that has the Legislative Fiscal Office providing staff support to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, or maybe any other conflicting language. I felt that I do know that there was a lot of discussion around this area, and so to focus it, if it was going to be a legislative audit function, don't call it anything else. I believe you should just call it a legislative audit function. Put out its authority and statute to look at the management and performance of agencies and programs. Clearly, it doesn't give the office the authority to conduct financial audits. That is restricted to the Secretary of State. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. But that's sort of the background and where I was going with this and what I understood and took away from the last meeting that I was at.
Thank you. Mr. Hedner, did you want
to? I can if you like, Madam Chair. I appreciate, you know, Dallas and I did chat a little bit about this, and, of course, we agreed to disagree on the constitutional authority questions and those sorts of things. But I really do appreciate his willingness to craft something that really narrows the discussion to legislative audit. I mean, we just, last session, we were really discussing a lot of things, whether the Secretary of State had the authority, whether it should be vested in the legislature, and all those sorts of things. And his willingness to put it kind of in this form allows those of us with interest in this topic to have a discussion on legislative audits. And We did talk about evaluations, and that wasn't something that was included in this package. I think, in my mind, that's something that's workable. The ability for the legislature to look at performance measures and the effectiveness of an agency to attain those as an evaluation function would do. The ability, typically, in an evaluation function to turn out work products a little quicker than you can in an audit, just because of the depth and the standards base that encapsulates an audit. I think that's something that you may want to consider. Certainly, from our point of view, and I think pointing towards that last line in this bill where it would go right to the Supreme Court if it's challenged constitutionally, I think there's probably a good chance it may be. So to put that in there certainly makes me think that needs to be considered. Do we really want to go down that path if there's that much question as to whether or not where the authority may reside? But again, you know, I appreciate the openness of LFO and Dallas. I think we're having good discussions around this issue, and we just disagree.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your comments. Do I have any questions, comments? I know Mr. Latimer's got.
Commissioner Barrows had his amendment first.
Thank you, I'm a Senator. I withdraw.
Oh, okay.
I'll wait for the Senator.
Well, thank you. Dallas, this is excellent work, and thank you for doing it. I would venture to offer this statement that this recommendation may be the most significant long-term, far-reaching recommendation to emerge from the public commissioner, in my judgment. And I believe that the public has an expectation that we not only appropriate money, but we follow that in a very responsible, structured way to make sure that the intent and the mission of those appropriations is in fact being met in an efficient way. The disconnect, and this is not to suggest that the Secretary of State's office is not doing that, but the disconnect between those in policy and appropriation and the follow-up and essentially goodwill dependence upon agencies to submit data and information is there's a huge disconnect there. And in terms of the broad public far-reaching policy issue here, it closes that because it allows us with substantial teeth in law to follow those funds to make sure that, in fact, the intent is being met in an efficient, effective way. And I think, you know, what would most likely happen is you'd have very close collaboration between the Secretary of State's office and this audit function in terms of we're going to focus on this area, you're focusing on this area. But and there may be some overlap to a certain extent, but I believe this is a very, very important recommendation, and I think it's well crafted and very well presented.
Mr. Martin,
given an audit function is more, I don't know, legalistic or programmatic than a maybe program review, and it seems like part of the legislative process should be to set up the audit criteria if there's going to be an audit function. It seems like that ought to be done as part of the crafting of the of whatever that legislative intent is. And that way there's that coupling that you're talking about between, okay, this was our intent, and the way it shows up in audit is done as part of the process. So then that doesn't have to be done later and say, well, what was the intent, and is this really meet, you know, if we audit this way, does that really meet the intent and all that? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Just as a follow-up, we are moving more and more into performance measurements, and when we appropriate monies, agencies have identified those performance measurements, and then it gives us an opportunity to then come back to those and how has the agency met those goals. This in essence gives us another tool to again close that loop. And do it, I think, in a more effective way. I'd have to be very candid with you. I think some of the performance measurements and the reporting are a little suspect. A little fluff here and there at times. So this puts just a little more credibility when an agency says that they're going, you know, they have done X and Y, but in fact, they have done X and Y. Good point.
Well, so who states intent as part of the audit process? How does the audit process know they've captured intent?
If I may address that, I think having the function within the legislature and having the intent, I think, of the audit would be a legislative thing through the committee. So the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, composed of members, would basically set the criteria or not what would be audited and what. And I think in my past, my prior life when I was an auditor that reported to the legislature and the governor, a great deal of setting the objectives of the audit were around what the legislature intended when it set up either a program or an office. So we would go back to that. For example, let me give you an example, an audit of a program to provide after-school care service for latchkey children. They set it up, okay. We went back and developed an audit. It hadn't been audited. So one of the first things you look at is you set up one of the criteria you want to look at is are these after-school care services being provided to latchkey children? And then what sort of controls are in place or what sort of processes are in place to see, in fact, that latchkey children are the ones who are being served and not just any child, anybody, you know, a parent who may have been a stay-at-home parent and just didn't want to have to be at home at 2:30 every afternoon for the kids. You do it that way. And I think with the legislature involved through the committee, that would be part of the operating process to make sure that the original legislative intent is being met.
I have some questions, okay. But I'd like to hear what Mr. Latimer's questions are, if he's ready.
Madam Chair, will this office follow Yellow Book standards?
I would leave that up to the committee, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, rather than put it in statute. I deliberately didn't address that in here, and the reason was Reg Council has informed us that there's a constitutional problem if you put something like that in law. That we tried it with there was a spending limit bill, appropriations limitation that's put into statute, and we tried to put a definition that was crafted by the GASB, Government Accounting Standard Board, in there, and we had to put as of a certain date. Because you can't have something written into law that would be another governing agency would then cause the law to change. So that would have been unconstitutional. So I deliberately left it out. But, yes, the policies adopted by the committee could require that those audits follow Yellow Book standards. My opinion, I think you can achieve the same results without following the Yellow Book by without formally adopting those standards, you can achieve the same outcomes. But I think it would be a policy of the committee.
Follow-up then. As a CPA, do you think that you could do audits without following Yellow Book standards and maintain your license?
I could not conduct a financial audit and issue an opinion and not follow those. This office would not conduct financial audits.
Here's my concern, and maybe I'm not expressing it very well, but what does the legislature want to do that my assumption is that the legislature wants to make sure that the laws that it passes, which are policy and direction to the executive branch of government, the legislature wants to make sure that the money that it has appropriated to XYZ agency for to DHR or whatever for the purposes of an after-school program for kids. I assume we're thinking of the SUN program, which is having a little difficulty in my county. But anyhow. So what does the legislature want to do? It wants to, I assume that it wants to make sure that the place that the money went is doing what it wanted the program to do, which to me is something a little bit different than a Secretary of State audit, kind of an audit. And that's what the Yellow Book means. No, the government auditing standards are not
the General Accountability Office, which used to be the General Accounting Office, GAO, establishes these standards for doing audits, both program audits and financial audits.
Okay, so I guess another concern I have is if we're supposed to be here to recommend things that will help improve the legislature and how it looks in its operations to the public. Why do we want to do anything, recommend anything that might look like it's a duplication and a use of money, public money, for a duplication of something that another agency is supposed to do? And I have a big concern about that. But I guess my real question is, I've always felt that there's so much power in the Ways and Means Committee and its review, that more focus on performance measures for achieving a legislative policy goal that's stated in the statutes or that's a directive to an agency, that's where the legislature ought to focus, and let that other stuff, the technical kind of audit stuff, be done by the constitutional agency, and stop spending our time having the fight between the executive branch and the legislative branch over this thing that may go to court, and focus on, okay, agency, are you doing what we expected you to do to achieve better school grades by these kids that are in this program or whatever, which is a little different than the other kind of a technical audit, as I understand it. And that's sort of what my concern is about the direction that we seem to be headed with this recommendation. Anyhow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In response, Commissioner, as a member of Ways and Means, my hope, and the reason I am so enthused about this proposal, is it moves it beyond anecdotal and political persuasion mm-hmm. to more objective evaluation of what the outcomes really are. When we appropriate or we set, you know, policies set, it's funded, and you have a new program.
That or program, an existing
it,
one.
Does it exist into eternity? Nearly. And by what basis would you say we're going to modify it, change it, or eliminate it? Once it's set in motion, the ability to make those changes, I think it is so difficult unless you have clear and objective information. And that's why I am very enthused about this proposal, is that by and large, in Ways and Means, you hear a lot of anecdotal information, even coming from the agencies, and certainly from the constituents and that political persuasion that follows that, in absence of really hard data.
It's not like an independent, it's not an independent evaluation. It's in front of the Ways and Means Committee.
Right, it's not independent. And that's where I see this role being independent and hopefully insulated from those political persuasions and pressure to where we do look at the good hard data that's pretty in depth, which is a little different than at least my experience in Ways and Means. Thank you.
You know, I know insulated from the political persuasion, I know it's difficult, but you know, my first exposure when we went to the state of Washington and met with there, they have a, they call it JLARC.
Joint Legislative Audit and Review Committee.
Mm-hmm. And in statute, it's balanced 50-50. I don't know if you want to say it. Lost words this morning. And it's staffed by folks, they said they use the yellow book. Now that I know what the yellow book means, they said they use the yellow book. And I think, you know, I was certainly very impressed with them about, they do a lot of long-term thinking, long-term planning, but they also do projects based in the direction of the legislature. And it was intriguing, if that's the word.
So how would it work with the Ways and Means process? Is it on top of it? Is it with it? Is it?
If I might respond.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure. You know, there are many, many ways I'm sure this can go, but one thing that I could see happening is that the Joint Legislative Audits Committee, based on input from, you know, the Ways and Means process, could say, let's focus on this particular area. An analysis, a study, an audit, however you want to frame it, would be done, coming back then in the next legislative session in that subcommittee of Ways and Means to really delve in to look at this program area and does it need to be modified, funded, unfunded, eliminated. Those kinds of discussions where you've got greater information at much greater depth to make an informed decision, hopefully an apolitical decision. And that's where I could see this thing happening. It's just kind of an evolving issue where concerns are raised, you take a look at them, and you get a more in-depth evaluation to make an informed decision rather than a political decision. Hard to do.
Mr. Hughes can try to jump in.
Well, I have a question. So speak, I guess, to anybody, but maybe Senator Morse. Concern has been raised up about overlap between the Secretary of State's audit, financial audit function, and this program audit function. And is it, I mean, what's your view on that overlap and how that would be managed? Or, I mean, anybody.
Madam Chair,
that's a concern.
Could I make a clarification? The Secretary of State's audit division doesn't do just financial audits. It also does program audits. So
then even more to the point.
I think my comment may be on point. As you might expect, Madam Chair, I ran this by our attorney on Friday and just kind of trying to get a sense for whether the proposal that Dallas is putting forward, whether or not we'd have some problems with it. And one of the comments he made, we talked long and hard about it, but one of the comments he made is that it's really difficult to tell because performance audit is a term of art, and it really would depend upon what it is that you expected the legislative audit auditor to do. If you were, and it's consistent with what DOJ has said in the past, that if you define it this way, this will cause problems. If you define it that way, then maybe not. And through our discussion, if the intent of this function is to do something more of an evaluative function, where you're looking at performance measures and maybe whether they're achieving those effectively or not, that may not have a problem with it. But when you get down to economy and efficiency, if that's truly what they were wanting to do, or performance audits of economy and efficiency, that's where it would run into what we're doing now. And, you know, I'm all for audits and I'm all for accountability, and I certainly understand what it is that Senator Morris and others are saying around getting good information to make good decisions. That's a lot of what we try to do. That's why we started picking up the program evaluation and performance audit function, was to provide good independent information for decision makers and others. So we're certainly empathetic. It's just given what we're doing and the way that the bill is crafted. You know, it sounds like it may be a recipe for duplicating exactly what we're doing, but then again, maybe not. I mean, if what you truly are interested in is that other part, evaluating performance measures and you know, the program evaluation sort of stuff, then if that's the way you want to define it, then it may be fine.
My question, the irony of this, last week I actually got a call for the first time, it's on point, a request, from someone who recently came from the state of Washington, raising some concerns about, I won't say the agency and payments, and you know, you guys should really audit this. Well, we don't have an audit. You don't have an audit? No, we don't have an audit. You don't have JLARC? No, we don't have JLARC. And so, you know, it's interesting if a legislator, and I'm not saying this person is right or wrong, I have no idea. But if a legislator had a concern, if a member specifically of Ways and Means had a concern, whether it's a program that's been around for 15 years or 5 months, either the program that was funded never got started by the agency, I can name a situation where that happened, that, you know, there's concerns about payments between, you know, a provider and the agency or whatever, what recourse does a member have to try to get an answer to that?
I can answer that. Right now, in statute, they can go to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, and that audit committee is staffed by Legislative Fiscal. If it chooses to undertake an audit, it can do so, and that would be performed by Legislative Fiscal staff. It has done so in the past. So that avenue is available. It's become problematic in that after a while, you know, Legislative Fiscal is there for the budgets, and they were ramped up to do audits back in 98, and the like, and audit committee had a number of them that it issued. The following interim, there were fewer, and this last interim issued one. And the work, it tends to get lost, even as it's staff. You know, you can't have, it's hard staffing an office to provide different functions, functionality, and support. So.
Well, I would have perhaps if it were if there were a problem in a committee that I was overseeing or another area that somebody else was overseeing, asked the agency and the program people to come in and lay the whole thing out for that substantive committee as well, and talked about some of the problems that have been reported with it, and used also that kind of legislative influence to try to help open it up. It's not an actual audit kind of a thing, but there are also other places of ability to do things like that in the legislature. I don't know if they're used now or not. Or maybe I shouldn't have, but we wanted to know, we needed to know and have the testimony.
Right, and if you have political influence, and if you're a chair, and if you have a gavel, and you can use political influence to attempt to get answers out of an agency. Of course, it's the agency that's in question. But if you're a member of the minority, if you're not one to want to use political power but might want to use data to make a decision, my sense is there isn't the resources, but, you know.
Yeah. And
tell me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right that as it's set up now, any audit responsibility for the legislature is with the audit committee, Joint Legislative Audit Committee, which is staffed by the people who staff Ways and Means, and their primary responsibility is budgetary. So they, you know, the tugs for their time, over time it becomes a budget. You know, we've had a lot of discussion around the budget the last few interims and one not interim where we had a session from 2001 clear into 2003, it seemed. But so having a separate office, I mean, this was crafted for purposes of debate, actually. You know, the issue is finely drawn. But if you set it up, then you have an office that can operate all year round, independent of the demands for the e-board, other things that staff and legislative and fiscal are required to do. They keep up with agency operations, you know, attend the higher education board hearings. Yours truly gets to spend a lot of time up in Tigard at the Public Employees Retirement Board and the Oregon Investment Council, because I have those agencies. But we're there just to see what's happening, so we better understand the operation for purposes of the budget. Where you have a separate audit function that would be responsive, 12 months a year, could operate and provide that, do that work and provide that on a ongoing basis, I think is of value to the Assembly. I've always been a proponent of legislative oversight, and I think an audit function within in the legislature, I'm a proponent of it. But I don't get to vote on the floor. So.
Okay, Mr. Hibner's been trying to jump in.
That's my manager. I just wanted to add to your.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other options beyond what Dallas had suggested, and I wanted to add, they could always pick up the phone and call us. If they've got an audit issue, and some legislators do, and we spend some time, a couple times a year, where we're out talking to folks, trying to get what their interests are so we can design our projects to be most responsive to what folks are interested in, not just legislators, but you know, it goes beyond that, but that's certainly a part of what we try to do. On occasions, and not as often as we would like, a legislator will call and say, I've got an issue here, what do you think? And we'll go out and do an audit around that issue. We do have the ability to say no, and I can't remember the last time we said absolutely no, but that is another option that we like to encourage. There you go.
All right, well, thank you for that. Mr. Martin. And then I'm going to go to Commissioner Bernstein and see if he has any comments. Okay.
So I'm a novice at legislative or government audit stuff. I'll state that up front.
I have some experience with it in the business world, and I keep trying to find parallels here. Because it sounds like we've got capabilities that we're not using, and it's kind of broken. And this is some attempt to fix it. Because I hear that the Legislative Fiscal Office can do an audit. But so what does this do that that doesn't already have power to do? Would be one question.
Puts it with a different office. That's the answer to that.
Okay, well, I don't pretend to understand that. But I think it's something we have to address. And then what is this about the program, the Secretary of State program audit? And is that just a... it's not a systematic audit of legislative intent, I mean, of all of it, or it just happens to be when somebody calls up? I mean, just listening to this, it sounds like a big mess. And getting clarity about who's got what accountabilities from an audit standpoint would seem to be pretty important I don't know what you did for audits, but
at HP we got audited in business processes, not just fiscal audits, those happened as well, but we also got audited in fiscal processes. And the management of the organization had to respond to those audits. And so it was a program type of audit. And there was cooperation between the auditing function and the management function because, you know, the intent was to improve operations.
And that doesn't sound like we have tight enough coupling between the Secretary of State, if they have program audit capability, and the legislative branch. And maybe this is an attempt to either bypass that, or maybe it's inappropriate to ask the Secretary of State to have program audit responsibility. Getting this clear would be really useful.
I'd be happy to respond, Madam Chair and Commissioner. The sort of program audit that you're talking about would be akin to probably your internal auditor out there looking at processes, and certainly we do that. We devote a significant amount of our staff to looking at doing the program evaluations, looking at processes, looking at economy and efficiency of processes, and it's all risk-based, similar to what your internal auditor.
Is intent included in that?
Sure. We would look at legislative intent when we're analyzing either a program or an agency in a broader sense. So certainly intent would be one of the criteria you're looking at when you're trying to determine whether an agency is achieving what it's supposed to be achieving. So that would be included in any analysis that we did. How we pick our projects are based on risk. And that's more art than science, but we certainly take a broad look at the sort of issues that are out there, the sort of whether an agency has been audited in this fashion before or last time, and we pull all that stuff together and we determine our projects for the next little bit. We run those in front of JLAC and tell them what we're up to, get their input, and then we proceed. But it would be very similar to what your internal audit function is trying to do in identifying those processes that are higher risk to HP, highest risk, and doing the sort of analysis in some sort of logical order.
I have a list here. First, I wanted to go to Commissioner Bernstein. Did you want to offer any comments?
I guess I'm still unsure whether this is just an extra layer or not. I'm not getting enough clarification on that.
All right. I think Mr. Latimer is hoping to offer another something. So hold on. So he's in the queue for Commissioner Hill. Is that all right?
Or go ahead.
Do you want to go ahead?
Go ahead. If it's
you might. Okay. Take it away.
I guess I'm in a position of agreeing with everybody. That's not easy, given that not everybody here agrees. It was on my watch when we established the Legislative Audit Committee. I was Legislative Fiscal Officer at the time. And we did a lot of work. The Legislative Fiscal staff did a lot of work for the committee. I guess, as I understand it, the work of fiscal office has gotten to the point where they don't have the time to do that work effectively, which leads me to the conclusion that Legislative Fiscal Office needs more staff. I think we've talked about that in other stuff we've talked about, lack of legislative staff. But let me get back to this particular issue. We crafted the Legislative Audit Committee statute to try and get around the constitutional issues. And when you do that, you kind of make an interesting animal. It's probably neither there nor there because of that. But I thought, at least when I was there, it worked fairly well. I have always argued that a function of the legislature is legislative oversight. And how you do that, I think, is what we're talking about here today. And I agree with that. I think that if we're going to get into a situation where we create a constitutional issue, we're wasting everybody's time and money. So I'd rather not recommend something that's going to get us into a constitutional fight with the Secretary of State, because I think you would if you tried to set up a, quote, audit function, particularly the way this, the language in this draft is stated. The AG opinions, and I've read them all because I read them when I was state auditor and I read them when I was fiscal officer, the AG's opinions are fairly clear that Secretary of State has constitutional authority to pretty much set the audit course and what gets audited, when and how and who does it. I'm not going to argue that here. That's a legal issue that I hope we don't get into because I don't think it's necessary. Whether you call it auditing, a program evaluation, a program review, or program audit or not, you really do need to have standards to do it by. Otherwise, people will pick you apart. They'll pick apart your professionalism. They'll pick apart whether you're using good data, all that kind of thing. So I think standards are really important. And I don't see a problem with using Yellow Book standards to do or something similar, because Program Evaluation Society has standards, and they're well known all across the country. A lot of states have this kind of program evaluation function in their legislatures. A lot of states also have legislative auditors, and we have unfortunately in Oregon we have a constitutional issue around that. One of the best, I think, is in Florida. It's called OPAGA, and so I copied sort of the front page of their website that talks about what they do, and then one of their reports, so you can see the kind of work they do. So I'm going to pass that around. OPAGA is the Office of Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability in Florida, and there are a lot of these kinds of organizations. JLARC is very similar in Washington. There's a major one in Virginia that gets a lot of rave reviews. They're legislative audit, program evaluation, whatever you want to call them, functions. I think that what something like OPAGA does is something that we really need in Oregon. And I've argued this when I was state auditor. I argued it when I was legislative fiscal officer, and I've argued it since, because I think it's really important. But you've got to understand, this kind of thing costs money. You don't do this on the cheap. Auditing is expensive. Program evaluation is expensive. And we've never put the money into the Joint Legislative Audit Committee that we need, or the staff.
Poor performance is even more expensive.
Exactly. I agree with you, and I would put the money into it, but that's a legislative decision in terms of budgeting for this kind of function. Now, I think you have to do it carefully. You don't do it as an audit. You do it as program evaluation, and program evaluators have standards, too. There's a whole discipline and genre of things called program evaluations. And they have courses in universities that teach you how to do it. It's very intensive kind of, looks like there's a lot of data analysis that is used, that program evaluators use. So I would like to see us move more in this direction rather than an audit function. I think that way we get what Senator Morris wants done, but I think it has to be somehow connected to the budget. That's where these decisions are really made about how we fund these programs, whether they're working or not. And so I'd almost, and I don't care how you establish this, I'd almost make it another office attached to the legislative fiscal office. But that's neither here nor there. You can have it in a separate office, however you want to do it. But for me, fighting this constitutional issue is a waste of time and doesn't do anybody any good. And the way this is set up, I think that you would eventually want to follow Yellow Book standards, because I think people would begin to say, well, you've got the audit staff following them over in the Secretary of State. Why aren't you? And what does this really mean? And why are you really professional? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's really important. But I also think it's important to tie it to the budget review. And the standards you use are going to have to be very clear so that both the legislature and the public understand it. One of the things that I think is important, and one of the things I know the audit division does, is look at not just legislative intent, but management intent. So department directors, do they have standards? Have they set goals? Do they are they meeting those goals? And do the goals make sense? Auditors always talk about how important it is for the management or the director of an organization to set the standards, set the how things go on. There's another corollary of that I used to use. It's called the fish rots from the head, but we don't use that in flight company. Those are important kinds of things that I think that the audit division does. I think what you want is something to look at the programs, how they're being managed, whether they're achieving their results, whether the performance is what you think it should be. That's a different kind of thing than an audit, and it can also follow standards. So I'm going to be opposed to this piece of statute that not no disrespect to Dallas, but I think that all it does is set up an opportunity for a constitutional battle. And how does that help any of us? If we can agree to recommend an organization, whether it's attached to LFO or not, that does something similar to what this organization in Florida does and what similar organizations all over the country do, without that audit word in there, and that sort of audit requirement, then I can work with that and agree to it. But I would have to oppose that statute as being presented by Dallas. So there.
Yes,
thank you. I am very glad that I yielded to Co-Chair Latimer, because I think that what he says makes sense. I mean, in terms of priorities, I think that one of the things I believe that has been established is that we do need to beef up legislative fiscal. Just to do the work that they have to do now, my feeling is that the audit committee, if legislative fiscal had the staff that it needed, then I think it could perform the functions that the audit committee was set up to perform. But this idea from Florida, I think really perhaps gets more directly to the point. But we always have to look at the money. I mean, we've talked about a lot of the inadequacies that we have with the support staff of the legislature. And to go off and set up another office, at some point, we go with the Florida concept, having enough staff so that the audit committee can function properly. This is going to be something that's very expensive, and it seems to me that beefing up legislative fiscal can help these other things be done as well, including you know, their core function. So I have to say that I'm in agreement with Co-Chair Latimer that it just seems like we're going to move off into an uncertain direction. And also I could see where there's going to be conflicts between people as to who has this function and who's going to be performing this function. And finally, let me just say I did not go to the state of Washington, but I think the last thing we need is more politicization of this whole thing, and maybe they have avoided that issue in the state of Washington. But I don't know. There seems to be a lot of politics kind of around this whole concept, as far as I can tell. So.
Mr. Latimer, and then I want to bring you back to the actual recommendation and see how you'd want to change it, or if you even want to make a recommendation. That's the first question, Mr. Martin.
Well, I was kind of expecting at the end of your comments that you had some kind of recommendation that would meet the intent of what Senator Morse is excited about. You know, can we get some real data and have some real information about how things are doing so we can make smarter decisions when we appropriate? And how do we thread our way through some of these other issues? I see the overlap problem, and I think you can waste all kinds of time on that. I also believe that there are times in organizations where you have to advocate for something even though you can't prove on a piece of paper that the return is very favorable. And I think this is one of them, right? It's going to be hard to prove that in the future spending this money is going to save money. But it is. So we have to take a position on that.
Mr. Latimer.
I can make a recommendation myself, but I don't know how it would fly with this group. What I was trying to do by giving you that example from Florida, I mean, there are other examples. They're all over the country. A small state like Maine has one. So you don't, and Mississippi has one. I mean, so you don't have large, doesn't have to be a big state like Florida, but Florida's staff is about 25, 30 people. So it's expensive. I think that to avoid the constitutional issues, you really need to tie it to the budget somehow, because the one constitutional function the legislature has is the budget. And that's where the legislature's authority, other than to establish laws, but that's the real control the legislature has over departments and agencies, is through the budget. Now, they need that. You know, one of the things that you learn when you're in budgeting, and I did it for about 27 years, is that we tend to budget on the margins. We tinker a little here on this end, a little here on this end. We don't really try to fix in between. That's why I think something is important for the legislative function to look at the data and the performance of the departments. I would not want to call in an audit, though, because of the issues you get into. And if you tie it to the budget, you're really tying it to a constitutional function that the legislature has. So my recommendation would be to set up a separate office in LFO to do program
LFO
evaluation for legislative fiscal office, with an assistant director for this function, and set it up as a program evaluation, following program evaluation standards, so that they can meet the test of strong standards that you need to do this kind of function and have it accepted by people, both
that
in the public and
credibility.
Right. That would be my recommendation.
Commissioner Steeves, and then Commissioner Morse.
Well, you could change some of the wording in the the draft evaluation to say things like you wanted, instead of recommending the creation of a legislative audit office, you want to recommend the improvement and better funding of the legislative audit function in legislative fiscal with the creation of an office of program policy analysis and government accountability. And then you could talk about some criteria that include some of the things that Senator Morse wants to make sure that are included, and make the point, we could make the point, that the legislature, in our recommendation, the legislature needs to recognize that it must put some funding into this in order to perform what it is that the legislature wants to do in terms of oversight of state agency performances in legislatively directed policy. I mean, that you can, you could say that kind of thing, and it might meet what people are talking about, unless I'm out of it again.
Mr. Morse?
Thank you. I appreciate the comments that Chair Latimer has made. I think they're excellent comments. We ought not to lose this opportunity, okay? I think it's very important. If we were to recommend changing the name of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to the Joint Legislative Program Policy and Government Accountability, or something like that, something that really redirects to the statement that our co-chair was making, then take this same bill draft and change the name, but still give it the same teeth. I think you have to have that teeth of subpoena and possible contempt of court rulings in order to make sure you get the good data. And I think we're there where we need to be. And we're not confusing with formal audits, but it's more focused on program evaluation. Whether it's in LFO or not, I don't think we need to necessarily make that recommendation.
Well, and you might want to add a whereas that gets at what it is that you are trying to do, that you want to have better oversight, and you know, and add that in at the beginning of the bill so that it's clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to.
No, one
here. Commissioner Hill, I'm sorry. Talking process.
Well, I think that there is a great deal of integrity, and there's a great deal of a faith in the legislative fiscal office in terms of how they operate. This issue of politicization of it is important, I believe, because let's go into the real world. When people start issuing subpoenas and all those kinds of things, you know, and it goes into the press. I mean, now again, I'll get back to the situation in the state of Washington as to how that is avoided. I think that legislative fiscal, and I did not serve on Ways and Means when I was in the legislature, so I could be wrong, but I think that they have been able to, they've had the integrity to avoid a lot of the politics. And it's a body that the members can look at and say, you know, they run a fair shop, and anything can be politicized. We know that. But the thing of it is, if you're going to be, if the point of this is to really do a real evaluation and improve things, I think you got to have set it up in a way that the politics is minimized. That's what I see, because if this is just going to be one football where it's all kicked around, it's not going to have any integrity, I think, with anybody. So I agree with Co-Chair Latimer about the connection to the budget, and I see that as, it to me, it would be important to have it in LFO. And so that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I would add to, on the polarization piece, I think it would be very easy to put into the statute that the committee be evenly appointed, that there not be a majority of any one party. I don't know how you'd write it, but someone counsel will figure that out. But you could certainly put that in statute, with look at whatever they do in JLR. But it's the only committee, I believe, is what they told us, that is directed to be even. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, now that I'm saying that, did the chair bounce back and forth too, regardless of who's in? I can't remember. It's completely different than their regular committees. No one wants to say anything. So.
I guess then what I would recommend is we follow Commissioner Morrison's lead. I think I agree with Commissioner Hill that perhaps, because I remember some legislation that we tried to get through similar to this back in the early 90s, and the whole issue of subpoenas was really hotly contested. So I don't know whether you want that in there or not. I don't disagree with you, Commissioner Morris, but I'm not sure you're not going to get into a big brouhaha over that.
Commissioner Morris.
There's an additional issue that was raised here by Adrian in terms of how far-reaching, whether it's just strictly state agencies or monies that flow through to agencies beyond the state. Where the state funds such a great percentage of activity that occurs with essentially contracted, whether it's for profit or not for profit,
or with counties.
Counties. Yeah, I mean, there's just a whole host of activities that we turn monies loose, and we're just kind of, you know, it's sent out there, and we hope it does good things. I don't think that's the right kind of accountability. The message that we want to send to the citizens of Oregon, I think our accountability goes greater than that.
That's called abdication.
It's called what?
It's called abdication.
Okay, right. Well, we abdicate a lot. But to have that ability to do it in a way that gets people's attention, it's not just based on the goodwill. It actually has some teeth. And I think somewhere along the line, this activity has to have some teeth to get at data.
I can disagree with you. I'm just worried about what it'll fly.
Commissioner Barrows?
And yet it may be a solution looking for a problem in terms of, I tend to agree with you, Senator, that I think there has to be some teeth. My recollection, and I haven't looked at this for decades, is that the legislature has subpoena power today. Right. And so the chair of the new committee on program, would have that ability. Maybe it wouldn't rest exclusively inside the assistant director of LFO, who's in charge of this new program. And I concur with those that have suggested that's where it should be, as opposed to an independent. So we may not have a problem. In other words, that may exist already. And I recall in 1966, when there was a huge flap over timber in this state, huge flap, federal timber issues and all, there was an interim committee on natural resources that used subpoena powers. They hired an outside legal counsel, brought them in, subpoenas were issued. It was a Donnybrook. If anybody has nothing better to do with their life, go back and read the archives of the Oregonian in 1966. It is the subject of a novel that no one would believe. But I do recall that the legislature was able, the chair was able to issue that. So I think we're there already, Senator, in statute, unless it's been altered.
Commissioner Bernstein, any questions, comments?
No, that's right now.
Okay. So as a taskmaster now, trying to actually get us to something that maybe we can agree on. Any suggestions? I got two people in.
Could I ask one question? One of the things that's in the piece that co-chair Latimer gave out was review of Florida school districts. I mean, to me, if you want to talk about abdicating responsibility, we just give them half the budget
and we just say do good. So I think it's very important here to, if we're going to really have integrity and da-da-da-da-da-da, I think if you're going to throw out half the money of the general fund, I think that there's got to be some accountability there.
Exactly.
And now, and I would like to know if this concept is going to include the school districts. I think that it should, because that is...
I think it does.
That's half the budget.
I think where Commissioner Morris was heading was in that direction. I think hopefully it would cover all state dollars wherever they end up, whether it's a nonprofit, a commission on children and families, in a county or a county health department or wherever it may be, including school districts, because we spend so much money there and there's... Well, I
would
say that.
Yeah. But not just state dollars. You have to approve the expenditure of any federal funds as right. well, and they can't spend it without a legislative authorization to do it. So it needs to be any monies expended by yeah. state agencies.
That's, if I may, the part there said the audit, whatever you want to call it, would give them the statutory authority to look at state agencies' programs and other state-funded programs. That is the portion it was put in there so you could follow the dollars. And it says state-funded. You can change appropriations or however to make sure that by reading this, that meant that money came from the state. It didn't color the type of money it is. It just means it came from the state. It was provided by the state.
Can I ask Dallas just a quick question?
Sure.
And that is it your thought, Dallas, this would include licensing boards and all that that have just limitations, but it's not.
Yes.
There's no state dollars involved.
That is state money. That's
well,
public funds.
It is. It is. Yes. And it's fee driven and license
yep.
fees and all.
Those
that.
Operations are governmental
yeah,
state programs.
That's good. That's fine.
To spend it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Sure. But they're just limitation budget.
Yeah.
Commissioner Latimer.
I think it's important where it is, Commissioner Morris, and I think that in order. For two reasons. One, I think it needs to be tied to the budget function. And second of all, I think it needs to be tied to the budget function, both for a policy reason and for this constitutional issue, to try and make sure that you're doing work for the budget. And, I mean, clearly, this organization is going to look at all functions of state government, and policy committees will receive help, too. But I think you need to tie it to the budget function.
Just a point of clarification again. How does this new office or organization not conflict with the Secretary of State's auditing firm?
Very carefully.
if I might, Co-Chair. First, I'm just as a initial thought, I see a lot of merit in the discussion and in the program evaluation. Not to say that at some point, because when we do performance audits, there's certain aspects of achieving, being effective, that fits in with what we do in terms of a lot of objectives that we work on. So I think that even if you had a full-blown evaluation sort of function, there'll be some issues that we would look at as well. I mean, there will be some things. It just won't go that economy and efficiency that to that level. So there'll be some things that we'll need to stay in close contact on and make sure that we don't. So there is still some gray area between what a performance audit covers and what an evaluation covers. Not as gray as I felt it was when we started, but from listening to where you wanted to go with that, I certainly think that any sort of overlap would be manageable, and as long as you stay in communication, there shouldn't be a whole lot of redundancy, if any. So I see a lot of merit in the discussion. I think that any overlap at that level is very manageable.
Didn't answer my question.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
If I may, I think you're always going to have that question unless you define it and get it resolved. Just walking away from it, and I've long advocated put it in statute what the Auditor of Public Accounts is responsible to do. It really hasn't been clarified, and this discussion, I think, is representative of the approach. Let's try not to even deal with it. or let's, and that's why this was crafted in such a way to make it a fine line. But if you want, I think if you don't, you always have that. But I think, as Mr. Hitter said, as long as they're working together, at least communicating, and it's an open process, you can avoid stepping on the other's turf, if you will, or getting into that argument. Just by acknowledging, I would hope, that both of the functions are there for a purpose and are trying to achieve the public purpose. And there's no value to duplicating effort or getting into a firefight.
Commissioner Hill, Commissioner Latimer, Commissioner Morris, and then we got to bring the land is plain.
Yes. My recollection is the same as Co-Chair Latimer. When it comes to the Audit Committee, we've covered this ground. I think that ground has been covered about as good as it can in terms of delineating the functions. And I think we have guidance there with the, you know, with the Audit Committee. It seems to me that, at least from what I've heard, that the problem is they just don't have the resources to really have the Audit Committee do its job. And that's why I think, again, beefing up legislative fiscal. But the thing is, I mean, Co-Chair Latimer can comment about it better than I, but I mean, I think great care was really informing the Audit Committee. Great care was taken to really deal with this, to come as close as you can to see that there were no constitutional conflicts. And I don't think it's necessary to reinvent the wheel here. I mean, I think some good work has been done in creating the Audit Committee. Go to that for guidance, and if it still needs to be tweaked or something, fine. But there's going to be the gray area. But we've covered this, and my recollection as well is that the Audit Committee, given that it has the proper resources, function well. If so.
Yeah, the problem with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee is that it really is an animal created by a committee for purposes of getting around political problems. And I'm not sure that it really does solve a problem if they ever got in conflict with the Secretary of State. I think the way you solve that problem is that you create this program evaluation function that is following program evaluation type standards rather than, I mean, you get into Yellow Book, similar to Yellow Book standards, but they are different because they really deal more with how you deal with data and analysis. And so I think in times the budget function then gets you more away from the audit. There's still going to be some conflict, and whoever does it is going to have to be very careful about that, or it'll end up in court. And I agree with Commissioner Hill. We don't want to make this any more politically contentious than we have to.
Commissioner Morris.
A question and then a comment, if I may. Is there anything in the Constitution that ascribes the exclusive responsibility to the Secretary of State?